Tonight is my last message, I feel. I may do one more. I was thinking about it, but this series is entitled Papaw's Favorites, and this is the fifth message in this particular series. As I told you before, I was six when he passed, and so I don't remember a whole lot about him, but I got his Bible and all those special verses. He does like I do. I mark special verses so I can find them, you know, and so I can read them. And these are verses that he had marked. And I thought, well, I'm going to do a message on them. And I think Papa would appreciate it. Since these were verses that were special to him, I think that he would like that. And it kind of keeps the ministry going a bit. And he served the Lord for a number of years. So that's what we're looking at. And in John chapter 14 is where we're going to be at this morning. And this is the fifth one of Papaw's favorites that I'm going to give to you. And it's verse 21, John 14 and verse 21. It says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." It says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he that is that loveth me." Now, look down at verse 15 in the same chapter. You have it again, just in a little different form. "If ye love me," what's it tell you to do? Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, of course, it said twice here, and there's a need for God's people once you're born again. Once you know Jesus as your Savior, it's important that you mind the Lord. Do you agree? You know, you're saved by trusting Christ as your Savior. We know that. We trust Him, and He charges to us His righteousness, and our sin then is charged to Him. We know these things. But there's a walk with the Lord after you're saved. And we're to live a life of obedience to Him, and we're to seek to keep His commands. And we do that because we love Him. That's why He said, "If you love me, then you keep my commandments. You do the things that I command you to do." Now, most generally, when you're thinking about the commandments, you think about the ten. There's all kinds of commandments. There's all kinds of commandments in the New Testament. Then there's all kinds of commandments in the Bible. We as God's people seek to mind His Word and do what His Word says. We're not just to be a hearer of the Word. The Scriptures in James 1 says we're to be a doer of the Word. So when God's Word tells us to do something, we seek to carry it out. You are here today that are born again. You come in to listen to God's Word, don't you? That's one of the main reasons you come in. We come to sing praises. We come to worship. And we come to hear a message from His Word. And when we hear that message, we seek to put into practical application what the message tells us to do. Many times what people do when they come to church, they come and watch a preacher perform, but they don't do what the preacher says they need to do from the Bible. You see what I'm saying? They don't put it into practice. They're a hearer, but they're not a doer. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to hear, and He wants you to do. So this message title is "If You Love Me." And we're going to give you three main points. Let me give these to you in the beginning. The evidence of a love for God. That's the first thing. The evidence of a love for God. Number two, the application of God's commandments. We'll talk a little bit about application of God's commandments. And then I'm going to mention to you five specific commands that are often overlooked. Five specific commands, basic commands that God gives us that are often overlooked. So those will be the three points that we're looking at. All right, let's go ahead and begin at verse 1. This should go relatively quickly, I think. So you just pay good attention and see what the Lord speaks to you about. You should always ask the Lord to speak to you during the church service. He'll speak to you through His Word, and you got to ask Him, I think. I think you ask, "Lord, speak to me today through the message," and He will. He will. All right, number one, let's look at the evidence of a love for God. And what is the evidence of a love for God? What is an evidence of a love for God? Well, if you love me, that's what our title is. If you love me, he says, then you need to keep my commandments. God wants us to obey His Word. Every time you come to church, you hear a lesson, you'll get a message, And then there'll be something in that lesson, and there'll be something in that message that you need to follow and that you need to obey. You don't get the blessing of a message unless you put it into practice. I wrote this down for you, and I want you to think about it. Are y'all ready for this? What are you doing? What are you not doing? Let me put it that way. What are you not doing that you know that God wants you to do? Boy, that gets down where you live, doesn't it? What are you not doing that you know that God wants you to do? Well, if you love Him, what's He say? Then you keep His commandments. You seek to mind Him. There's a lot of people I talk to about things that they need to be doing as a Christian, but they don't do it. They just don't do it. And they know they need to do it, and they know they ought to do it, but guess what? They don't do it. An evidence of love for God is you seek to obey what He asks you to do. I want to do what He asks me to do. I want to mind Him. I want to mind Him, and He's your Heavenly Father, and you ought to mind Him in the things that you should be doing. Sometimes you'll come to church, and you'll hear something that you need to practice, and you'll hear something that you need to repent of, and you'll hear something that you need to do. But if you don't do it, it really doesn't do you a whole lot of good, other than have it in your memory. I mean, I've actually had Christians say, no, I know I shouldn't have done that, but ever have? Oh, I know what the Bible says. I mean, I've had doctrines that I preach, and I've given them the evidence, and they'll go, well, I know what that says there, but I still don't believe it. What am I going to do with anybody like that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? If the Bible says it, you should believe it, because the Bible says it. Now, there's been some doctrines that I preach, and some doctrines which, you know, does anybody know what doctrine means? Bible teaching. There's been some Bible teachings that I've taught, and that at one time I'm like, man, I don't believe that. There ain't no way that could be true. But what I do is when I study the scriptures, I ask, or when I would listen, or even listen to a sermon. When I listen to a sermon, I'd say, Lord, show me. Show me your scriptures. Show me what you want me to get from this thing. And There's been times in my life where a preacher has preached something and I was like, well, he's a nut. He don't know what he's talking about. And, you know, there's been times that I actually waited after the service to talk to preachers to get them straightened out when I was younger. Well, you know what a good preacher does, don't you? They just give you the scriptures. And I had one preacher, one particular doctrine that I didn't particularly like the first time that I heard it. Doctrines of grace, I didn't like it. So I waited on him, and I talked to him, and I said, now listen, I don't believe what you just preached. That's not Bible. He said, it ain't. Oh, that's when he had me. He had me, he said, and then he said, well, what he did, and I've told you this many times, he wouldn't argue with me. I wanted to argue so bad. I like to do it. Oh, I wanted to argue so bad. It was awful. So he wouldn't take me on in an argument or a debate. He wouldn't do it. He said, well, but he did. He's real gentle. He said, but I'm not going to quarrel with you about it. He said, all I'm going to do is one thing. I'm going to give you the scriptures for it. And he gave me about 20. I know I was in trouble when the list was so long. He gave me about 20. He said, all I'm going to ask you to do is you ask God. You look at those scriptures and you ask the Spirit of God to show you if it's true or not. And if you don't see it at the end of you reading these texts and you asking God, don't believe it. Well, it just disarmed me totally. He wouldn't quarrel with me. I wanted to holler and stuff. Wouldn't let me do it. Well, you know what happened. I went home and looked at it. And I read that text and another text and another text. And I saw it. And then after I saw it and seen that that's what God's Word taught, it gave me convictions about it. You know what a conviction is, don't you? Do you really know what a conviction is? It's something you die for. Give me convictions about it, and I saw it for the first time. Well, an evidence of a love for God is when you hear God's Word, you seek to obey it. Or when you hear a teaching from God's Word that's Bible, and you've researched it out, and you see it's true, is you believe it. That's an evidence for loving God, keeping His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's talk some more about this, and let's move on to our second point. See, the evidence of love for God is what now again? Keeping His commandments, keeping His word. And I throw it in there, believing His word too. Well, some of you have trouble with some teaching, but you can't. I've had people cut me down. I remember an old preacher told me this one time, cut me down for something I preached, and the old preacher said, was it so? I said, well, of course it was so, or I wouldn't have preached it. He said, if it's so, then you're not the one that's got the problem. They do. You just keep preaching the word, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit's able to show someone the truths of God's word. Number two, let's talk about the doing of the commandments. Let's talk about the doing of the commandments. I want you to turn to the book of James now. I want to give this to you. I don't want you to be a hearer. I want you to be a hearer because that means you're here to hear. But I want you to be a doer of the word. I want you to be a doer of it. I want you to do what you hear. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It says in verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's what it says. Be ye doers of the word. Be ye what? Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. Kind of illustration here is like if you go look in the mirror, and if you see you got mud on your face, but you don't take a washcloth and wash your face off, it didn't do you no good to look in the mirror, did it? Well, God, that's what he's likening it to here in this text. We're just not to hear the word, we're to do the word. And I want to encourage you to do that. Sometimes when you come to church, you'll hear a doctrine that you need to believe. A doctrine, a Bible teaching that you need to believe. Sometimes from the pulpit, as you teach God's word, you'll hear things that you need to be doing. You'll also hear things that you need to correct. You'll hear all of that. But if you walk out the door and don't correct those things, then you're just like the person that looks in a mirror and sees the dirt, but don't clean it off. It didn't do you no good to look whatsoever. We want to be what again? We want to be doers of the word. There's three rules of application. I want to give these to you this morning. I'm not going to preach real long today, but I'm going to give you three rules of application, and I want you to write these down if you got a pen. Bring your pen and paper. The difference between just hearing and study is pen and paper. Pen and paper is how you write down, because you'll forget it when you go home. I forget everything anymore. I don't know why that is. But pen and paper. You got to have pen and paper, and you write it down, and then you look at it, you see. And that way you get to where you can remember it. I used to carry a notebook to church, and I'd write down the date, and I'd write down the text, and I'd write down what the outline was. And you do that, you will grow from that. So the difference between just hearing and studying is pen and paper. You need pen and paper. So I encourage you to do that. And how, I don't know, unless you got a photographic memory, I don't. I can't remember nothing anymore, hardly. I have to write everything down. I even have to write my own name down anymore. I forget what my name is half the time. Jeff, you know. But we have to do that. That's very important that we have pen and paper so that we can apply the Scriptures. Not just hear the Scriptures, as James 1 says, but to be a not just a hearer of the Word, but a doer of it. Now, before I read any farther here, is there anything that you know you need to be doing that you're not? You know you should be, you know, but you're still not doing it. I'm going to encourage you to do that thing today, whatever it might be. If there's something you need to correct in your life that don't belong in your life, you know it don't belong in your life, and you need to get it out of your life, then why don't you do it? You see, we need not just, we hear things and we know things are true, but doing it is very important. You got to do it. Here's a formula of application for doing. Here's what I ask myself when I study the Scriptures. Number one, is there a teaching, or is there a, let me put it that way, is there a teaching that I need to accept? Is there a teaching that I need to accept? When I read a text or I hear a sermon, I ask myself, is there a doctrine? Of course, the word doctrine means Bible teaching. Is there a doctrine that I need to accept? Is this something that I need to look at a little bit deeper to see whether it's true or not? I've taught Bible doctrine, and what's Bible doctrine? Bible teaching. I've taught Bible doctrine, and people say, well, I just don't believe that. And I'll go, well, why? And they'll go, they don't know why. I said, but have you ever looked at it? Have you ever looked at the evidence for it? Again, that blank stare. Hey, you shouldn't cut something down unless you check the thing out, should you, with regard to the scriptures? You should look and see whether it's so. What I'm asking you to be is what the book of Acts calls a good Berean. You know what a good Berean does? The Bereans, it says, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and then they searched the scriptures daily to see whether it was so. Amen. That's what I do. I want everybody in this church house to be a Berean. I want you to receive the word with readiness of mind and then search the scriptures to make sure it's right. All God's people say it. Everybody here ought to do that today and begin doing that today. And it'll make you closer to the Lord and you'll learn things. You'll learn things you'll never thought you would imagine ever believing. You'll learn things if you'll do that. You ask God, he'll show you. Well, we're looking at our second point. First point was the evidence of a love for God is keeping his commandments. Number two, we're looking at doing of his commandment, the doing of his commandments. And I'm giving you a application that when you hear God's word or reads God's word, I'm giving you kind of a formula to go by. So when you hear a message or you read God's word, here's what you should apply. Number one, is there a teaching that I need to accept? Is there a teaching that I need to accept? You're listening to a teaching. The opposite word of the kindred word to teaching is doctrine. You're hearing a doctrine that you heard. Is there a teaching in that message that I need to accept? Okay. Number two, is there a sin that I need to repent of? Sometimes you'll come to church and you'll hear something that you need to repent of. You'll see something in your life. The Holy Spirit will show you something in your life. It might not even be related to the message. Sometimes I've seen that happen. I might have read a text that goes with this message, but someone took it a little bit different way, but it was still true. God will speak to you through his word. Is there a sin that I need to repent of? Has the Lord ever rebuked you from the pulpit? Has the Lord ever rebuked you from the pulpit? You heard something from the pulpit that slapped you right across the face. Y'all thank God for that because he's working on you. Y'all think? Amen. He's a working on you. And he'll whip you tired. I've had people come up after it was done and say, what do you know about me? I don't know nothing. I'm just preaching, you know. I'm preaching in a generality. The Holy Spirit knows, and he applies it to the heart. Amen. Applies it to the heart. Is there a teaching I need to accept? Is there a sin that I need to repent of? Now, I want to tell you something. The Scripture says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. You don't hide your sin. Now, you can hide your sin from the preacher, and you can hide your sin from your mom and dad. You can hide your sin from your neighbor, but you cannot hide your sin from God. You cannot do it. You got to get sin out of the way where God sees it. You will never prosper spiritually as long as you got open sin in your life and don't repent of it. There's some things that you need to repent of. There's some things probably that everybody here needs to repent of. But if you're going to be close to Jesus, you got to apply the scriptures. Is there a doctrine that I need to accept? Is there a sin that I need to repent of? Number three, is there a command that I need to obey? Those are three questions I asked myself. Let me give them to you again. Is there a teaching I need to accept? Is there a sin that I need to repent of? Is there a command that I need to obey? All God's people said. That's my second point. My third point is this. Five specific commands that are often overlooked. Are y'all ready for that? I should be done in 5 minutes. Five commands, don't you figure? Five specific commands that often get overlooked. Are you ready? Number one, baptism is often overlooked with people. Blows my mind how many times people overlook baptism. Baptism is a Greek word when you're looking at it. All they did is gave it English letters and brought it over. But if you interpret baptism, which is baptizo, it means to plunge to immerse, to dip in water. Romans 6 says it pictures a burial. You ever go to a burial? Y'all ever been to a burial? You know, when they bury somebody, they dig a pretty deep hole, don't they? Amen. You dig that thing usually 6 foot down, and then you place the box down in there, and then you cover them over. You immerse them in dirt, don't you? That's what baptism is. Baptism is a immersion in water. I went to Bible college. We had an extra special little pamphlet there. I went to Hollis's Bible College, and it had what the Bible says about sprinkling for baptism. And I thought, well, he's broke over. The dean has. He's done lost his mind. And you open it up, guess what it was? Blank. Don't say nothing about sprinkling for baptism. You need to do it right. It pictures the message. It pictures the message you trusted that saved your soul. Death, burial, and resurrection, you don't picture that by sprinkling. It ain't nowhere in the Bible to do it that way. I don't know who brought that. Well, I know who brought it up. I know how it happened in history. But just about any old scholar you'll read after will say the biblical mode of baptism is by immersion. I mean, that's just what the Greek word means. Baptism isn't a command, it's an option. It's not an option, it's a command. God commands it to be done after you're born again. And I'm not saying you should do it, I'm saying you must do it. Because if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, then you need to mind what he tells you to do. Now, I do think baptism needs to be done by true church too. As well as there's true churches, there's also what? No, there's all kinds of false churches. The ordinances was given to practice by the Lord's churches. That's where the teachers are. That's where the ordinances are administered. It needs to be done that way. There's three quick marks of a true church. Number one, you got to preach the true gospel. You can't preach a false gospel. Is there false gospels? Oh my, yeah. Galatians 1 calls them perverted gospels. And the word pervert there is a little bit different than the way we use the word pervert today. It means to change it into opposite character. The gospel message, hear me, the gospel message is a message of life. If you mess with it, if you add something to it that's not a part of it, you pervert it, means you transform it into a message of death. Have you ever noticed in Matthew 7? I think it's Matthew 7. But it says, many in that day will stand before the Lord, and these are religious people. And they'll stand before the Lord and they'll say, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? These are preachers, prophets. Have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name we casted out demons. And in your name we've done many wonderful works. You know what Jesus is going to tell them? You know what the text says? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Rick, these were religious lost men. They never trusted the right gospel. They trusted a false gospel. They just trusted in their deeds. Trust in their deeds. You got to have a true church to have a true baptism. You really do. A lot of people that's trusted a false way. To be a true church, you got to have a true gospel, but you also have to have the grace message. Y'all know what grace means? Somebody shout it. Does anybody know? What's grace mean? It means not of works, if you want to give it a good little definition. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. You can't work your way to heaven. Doesn't that make sense you can't? Doesn't it make sense you can't? If Larry Eccles could work his way to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have had to die for Larry Eccles. The reason why he had to die for Jeff Arthur is I couldn't save myself. I needed a Savior. Jesus, not only he was born for me, he lived for me, and he died for me, and he rose for me, and one day he's coming for me. Think about it. Very, 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 very important that you man the Lord and do it right. You need to have the grace message. Grace means you're not saved by your works. Is everybody with me? You best stand. I don't even go be here forever. Just not. You best stand for the grace message. Grace means not of works. It's all of Christ. It's all through the gospel. It's all through the blood. You need to stand for the grace message. And here's the third sign of a true church, mark of a true church. True gospel, grace message. There's a whole lot of other marks you could add. This is quick. Immersion for baptism. We done talked about that. So those are three good marks of a church. Five specific commands we're looking at. Five specific commands. Our message title is, If You Love Me, Keep My Commandments. And I'm giving you some commandments that you need to obey. Number one, you need, after you're born again, after you trust in Christ, you need to mind the Lord in baptism. It's wrong not to. It's a sin not to. It's called a sin of omission. You know what a sin of omission is? It's knowing to do good and not doing it. He wants you to mind him in it. Number two, you need to be faithful. Five specific commands. Does he command us to come to church? I'm asking. Well, of course he commands you to come to church. The book of Hebrews says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. What's manner mean? Habit. Missing church can get to be a habit. When someone comes in our church, I encourage him to come to all the services. Now, not when you're sick, because I don't want you to make the preacher sick. Not when you're sick. Sometimes work, you have to work. Sometimes there's things in the family. But if you're healthy and able to come, you ought to come. And one church service is good. Four church services is better. Y'all think? Those are four lessons. I need four lessons. And the more lessons I get, the stronger I get. It's like eating. If you want to gain weight, one time I wanted to gain weight, now I want to lose weight. If you want to gain weight, you got to eat more. And that's how it is spiritually. If you want to grow as a Christian, you got to eat more. And the more times you come and more faithful you are to God's house, the more you'll get and the stronger you'll get and the more you'll learn. Since we teach through books, it's going to be different every time you come. Colossians, every time you come, it's going to be different because it's different things. And sometimes when you come and hear books taught, you'll see, I never knew that before. I didn't know that was. I've had people say, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, if you read the Bible, you'd see that these things were there. That's why you go through it. He commands you to be baptized. He commands you to be faithful. When he says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, that's not, well, if you want to, do it, but if you don't want to, don't. It's a command. When he says forsake not, that's a command. You should come when the doors are open. And you'll be the better for it. It'll help you. It'll make you grow stronger to the Lord. It'll help the whole church. Because if it keeps going the route that it's taken, then it'll die in a few years. It will die in a few years. So you have to have all your people here. Faithfulness in church attendance is the second command I want to give you. Number three, turn to Ephesians 4. I'm giving you specific commands in this study to obey. We're talking about keeping his commandments. I'm giving you some specific commandments that many times are problems in churches. Number three. Y'all still with me? Stay man. Amen. Still with me? You need a good biblical baptism if you're born again. It needs to be done to a true church too. Number two, you need to be faithful in your church attendance. Come. And that'll have an effect on you. My pop never let me miss church. Never done it. He would be here tonight if I could drag him down here. He would. If he could be pushed in here on a hospital bed and listen, he would and go back. He really would. He just was always funny about, I shouldn't say funny, dedicated about church. He just will. Y'all know it. He just will not miss. That's all I ever saw. That's all I ever saw. And he wouldn't even let me miss to play sports and stuff. He wouldn't do it. He just would not do it. Make him mad if he even asked. He'd stay. He'd say, you can stay a certain amount of time, and you best be home because we're going to church. I said, Pop, nobody else goes on Wednesday. I thought Papa was a fanatic. Nobody else goes on Wednesday. Well, after he slapped me one time upside the head, I figured that Pop did. And he wouldn't let me miss over that. He made that the priority. Did it have an influence on me? It did. Just like your mama. It's just the way it goes. Now, y'all might not like this one. Let's go ahead in Ephesians 4. Y'all still with me? It says in verse 32, be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Baptism is a command. I'm giving you a specific command. Just an example. Baptism is a command. Faithfulness in church attendance is a command. Forgiveness is a command. We're to be, notice what it says in verse, kind and tenderhearted and forgiving one another, even as Christ, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Have you ever forgiven anybody? How many have? Raise your right hand. I would say, have you ever forgiven the preacher? I bet you have, a time or two. People are people. And for sake of a better word, I don't know how to say it, Bertha, without saying, sometimes people do stupid things. Wasn't that awful? Sometimes people do and say stupid things. Y'all agree? And sometimes you just have to forgive people. And you know who that'll help more than anybody else? Somebody tell me. It'll help you. It'll help you. Because when that takes root in a person's heart, if it's not erased, the Bible calls that bitterness. Have you ever got bitter? Now, let me tell you. I'm a pastor. I've went through a lot of battles. I went through a lot of things in 30-some years. And, buddy, there's been times that I'd roll that thing over. Larry, I roll that thing over in my mind. I think about it, and I think, ooh, I'd like to have said. Yeah, I got bitter over it and mad and angry, and it made me disobedient. Didn't want to go to church. Didn't want to be around anybody. Well, we need to forgive folk. We need to forgive folk. Everybody does things wrong. You're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. So there's times that we do things and say things that we shouldn't do or say. And sometimes it's just good to say, listen, man, I'm sorry about that. I forgive you. Those are two things. I'm sorry about that, and I forgive you. And that'll help you. Because if you don't forgive, I want you to listen to this Baptist preacher. If you don't forgive, that thing will take root right down in here, and it'll eat you alive on the inside. There's people at home this morning that got hurt in a church somewhere that won't go, and it's been 20 years since somebody did something to them in that church, but they can recall it to the precise detail, and it happened 20 years ago. And for 20 years, they haven't served the Lord. The devil done just exactly what he wanted with them. He did just exactly what he wanted to. He shut them completely down. They're not serving. And then when you ask them why they're not, they'll tell you their really sad story of what happened in Elizabeth Baptist Church. Sometimes you've got to forgive people. Forgive them. And you'll find out when you forgive them, the one that gets let off the hook is you. Oh, God's people see it. Well, baptism is a command, faithfulness. I'm just giving you some basic things that's usually problems. Forgiveness is a command. Is prayer a command? Does he command you to pray? He says praying always with all prayer and supplication. He commands you to pray throughout the scriptures. Because the moment you stop praying like you should, the weaker you'll get. And then number five. All these are sermons. Y'all realize that on all five of these commands. But number five. What's it mean to be anxious for nothing? Scripture says to be anxious for nothing. Book of Philippians 4:6. You know what anxious is? Anxiety or fear. When the Bible says to be anxious for nothing, it basically means not to worry. Now, aren't you glad that none of us worry about anything? Aren't we awesome? Is worry a sin or not? I'm just asking. It is a sin because it says be anxious for nothing. That's a command, not an option. When he tells you not to worry, well, you can't just not worry. I think you can with the Lord's help. You might be able not be able to do it in your own strength, but I think you can do it. I think the Lord can give you the strength to do it. Amen. If you ask him. Lord, take this worry out of my heart. Because I get it right down in here sometimes, and I can feel it. It'll make you sick over time. It's a proven fact that it'll make you sick. It'll raise your blood pressure. It'll mess with you. Be anxious for nothing. That's a command, not an option. I'm not going to worry about this thing. I'm not going to worry about this thing. Let me say it one more. I'm not going to worry about this thing. God's got it. Ain't no use me carrying it if God's got it. I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give it to the Lord. Well, beloved, I hope this message has been a blessing to you. The title of it is, If You Love Me, Keep My Commandments. It was one of my papa's favorites. Now I know why. We seek to man the Lord with our lives. And I give you 5 specific commands to follow. Let's all stand. Thank you.